All right, we're right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. Hey, I'm Ann Eller, and I have the mayor of Abbeville sitting right across from me this morning. Sarah Sherwood, how are you doing today?
Doing great this morning, Ann. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You know, we've known you for many years here, actually. I think you used to be at First Citizens Bank.
Yes, ma'am.
Before you went over there to Abbeville. And then we had you on when you were working for with Judson Arce with the... what was it?
The Art Oberfest. Yes, ma'am. And I'm still in charge of that event, and we're gearing up for this October.
I think you started on that one just by making little treats, didn't you?
I did.
What does that say about you, Sarah?
Sucker.
So how did y'all end? Because you're not from here. Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. I grew up in a very small rural community, much smaller than Abbeville, actually. And my husband's parents moved down here about 13 years ago and bought a house after coming on vacation. And we just decided it was time to leave Michigan. And we were at a spot in our lives where we could do that. And we always imagined having a family, and you can't uproot a family and move 1,000 miles away. So we landed in Abbeville, South Carolina, and we've never looked back.
That's pretty amazing, you know, particularly because they always show these very picturesque commercials. Come back to Michigan. Come to Michigan for your vacation. You know, that's kind of interesting.
Michigan is certainly a beautiful and wonderful place to live. And since leaving there, when I do get a chance to go back and visit, I'm extremely inspired by the people of Michigan, especially the way that they have faced the hardships with the recession that was hit, because, you know, Michigan was one of the hardest hit states, and it's just been awesome to see what they're doing and how they've really reinvested in their local communities and their people. So I get to go back and learn from Michigan, but I don't have to live through their winter. So it's good.
With this weather we've had here recently, I mean, this would be spring, right?
I'll take this any day.
Well, we don't have the snow, that's for sure. But, How about the fact of what made you decide to get into politics in Abbeville?
That was actually an interesting thing. Two years ago, I actually ran for city council and lost. And at that time, I just really felt like things weren't going in the right direction. Our city wasn't, in my opinion, working for the people anymore. And I just didn't see any improvement in that over the 2 years since I had run for city council. And so I just decided that rather than be a person that is going to sit back and complain and tell everybody how they think it should be, that I put my money where my mouth was and I tried to do something about it. And I came out with a platform. There's things that I believe in, and I had some ideas and how we can get to where I think we need to be and what we need to work towards. And so I just, like I said, why sit back and complain? If you're going to complain, do something about it. And if you're not going to do anything about it, then don't complain.
That's right. Now, you know, that had to be difficult, though, because you are from Michigan, moving back into Abbeville. And you hadn't really, how many years have you actually lived there?
We've only lived there for 7 years, and it certainly is difficult. I love Abbeville, and Abbeville is certainly my home, but quite honestly, southern towns are not always most welcoming to outsiders, all southern towns. And so it was just a lot of campaigning, and I did it the hard way. I went door to door as many nights as I could to talk to people so they could see me and meet me, because I'm not a household name. I don't have a situation where everybody knows my family and stuff like that. I'm out here kind of on my own, so I did it the hard way, and I did a lot of advertising to communicate to people what I'm all about so that they could learn about who I am, so that they don't think that I'm this big city girl trying to come to Abbeville and change things, because I'm not a city girl.
So then of course you had a runoff.
Had a runoff.
Yeah, that had to be frustrating, right?
Well, my first election also ended up in a runoff, which I lost. So with a three-way race and the way we vote in the municipality of in Abbeville, I kind of expected a runoff. The initial general election was a bit closer between myself and the incumbent, so that was nerve-wracking in and of itself. But I'm just happy that I had the opportunity to get my voters back and swing some voters my direction that maybe hadn't voted for me the first time. But, you know, now that the field had been narrowed, that they were more comfortable with me, and I'm just grateful that they're giving me this opportunity.
So now that you are the mayor of Abbeville, how has this experience been?
It's been a great experience so far. It hasn't been a big surprise. I was very active. I always went to the city council meetings. I spoke at city council meetings. I did my homework. I did my research. And so there hasn't been a big surprise in what the job has entailed. And it's been what I've expected it to be, so that's been good. And I think some people are just, they're waiting, since I am an outsider, and I'm new. We have another new councilman, Josh Bauman. And so I think they're just kind of waiting a little while to see how things go and see what changes we're going to try to implement.
How have city council meetings been so far?
They're a little bit longer than they used to be. And
have you changed the time? I was reading that was one of the things you wanted to change the time so more people could come to them.
Well, the place I wanted to change times is with our public hearings. A lot of times public hearings were being held at 10:30 in the morning or at, 12 o'clock in the afternoon. And now we actually have a majority of our council works during the day. So that's really not feasible for working councilmen or for a majority of the people who live in Abbeville. They're working. They can't get to a meeting at 12 o'clock in the day.
Sure.
So the city council meetings times are not going to change, but I have worked to have the public hearings changed in the afternoon. And in fact, on Tuesday, we had an issue at school where I'm teaching, so I didn't get a chance to make it, but I have implemented that change in our public hearings are now in the evening.
Well, that's I think you're right. That gives more people the opportunity. One of the hardest problems is to get people involved in government, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think more people in Abbeville are starting to listen and pay attention, and that's a great thing, because our council is 9 people, and then we have a small staff over in the city of Abbeville. But we represent 5,000 plus people. And if we all 5,000 or even 2,500 of those 5,000 would work together, then we can make Abbeville a better place. And 9 people can't do it on our own.
Sure. And you need the input. I think that's the other thing. People don't realize their input is wanted.
Absolutely. And it's needed. Like I said, if we had 2,500 pairs of eyes coming back to tell us where we have problems and what we're doing well, then we know what we need to address. We know what we need to look at to make things better.
Yes. So those are some of the issues that are facing Abbeville right here. Sarah Sherwood is with us here this morning. Hey, if you've got a question for Sarah, don't hesitate to pick up that phone, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We are going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be back. So don't you go away.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We are right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We have the mayor of Abbeville right here, sitting across from me here this morning, Sarah Sherwood. We just had a call come in asking about, is the mayor more administrative or ceremonial, or I guess maybe a combination?
In Abbeville, ours is a little bit of a combination. With our form of government, we have the council manager form of government. And so I act as an equal voting member on our council, and I do get to enjoy a few special privileges being at the helm of that council, but there are some administrative things that I am responsible for. I have to sign off on a lot of papers and do those types of things. So there is a little bit more of a ceremonial task to it, but there is a little bit of the administrative. But in our form of government, we're fortunate to have a full-time city staff to handle the day-to-day business of the city.
Well, that's a And I guess you get a big salary for that.
Oh, whopping.
Whopping. Well, so what do you do? The last time I think I talked to you, you were working for a pharmaceutical company.
I was, yes, ma'am. And unfortunately, one of the things that I talked about in my platform was the need for jobs in our area. And whether those jobs come to Abbeville County or our surrounding area, we need jobs. And people are willing to drive a little ways for jobs, so we just need jobs in our area. But unfortunately, my territory was eliminated at the end of December.
Pharmaceutical sales?
Absolutely. And
I thought pharmaceutical sales was safe.
Absolutely not. It's actually one of the worst industries to be in. I came from banking, which failed, to pharma, and so it's been a mix. But I was fortunate to have an opportunity. There was a teacher at Dixie High School that retired middle of the year teaching some computer business classes. And so I had the opportunity to step in as a long-term substitute rather than sitting at home on unemployment. Mm-hmm. And it's been a really wonderful experience, but it's certainly interesting going back to high school.
Certainly. and the students, I'll bet, are a lot different than you remember when you were in high school.
Almost certainly.
And they learn so much different today.
They certainly do.
This is the thing I can't get over. Yeah.
Well, it's for kids these days, it's all about being connected, and they need to be constantly connected, and they get so distracted when they're not. And at Dixie High School, they teach in blocks. And so you teach them for an hour and a half. And my first 2 days, I was like, oh, dear Lord, how am I going to keep these kids busy for an hour and a half every day?
Right.
But somehow I've managed, and like I said, I've just become so attached to those kids. I just love them, and I enjoy going to school every day.
Well, that's really neat. But speaking about eliminating a territory, and you were saying that pharmaceuticals, well, just real quick, you know, here we are in the midst of Obamacare being implemented and everything. Was that part of a function of that, or?
It certainly wasn't. What happened with the particular company that I was with is they had done an expansion, and I think they kind of went, oops, we overexpanded, and then they had to go through and do a reduction, and they realigned everyone, and they, to be quite frank, last March they hired over 300 people, and then in December they eliminated 275 jobs. So
wow.
It just kind of came down to those things. When it comes to pharmaceuticals and territories, it often comes down to a computer-generated program that says what territories can be eliminated based on specific data. So it was very disappointing. I loved my job, but I love what I'm doing now. So, and I think it's wonderful to have had the opportunity to just try something new. I always wondered if I could succeed as a teacher. I don't know that I'd want to do it forever, but it's been a great experiment, and I'm happy to have had that opportunity as well.
Sure. No, I think that's great. But and of course, that goes back to the jobs issue. How is employment over there in Abbeville?
Employment is difficult in Abbeville, as it is in all rural communities. I happened to have an opportunity to go to a rural economic development summit a few weeks ago in Aiken, South Carolina, and Governor Haley actually spoke at that. And they are working on a lot of different programs to help ensure that rural communities have the same opportunities as Charleston and Columbia and Greenville.
Oh, right. Oh, come on. Give me a break, Sarah. How can they have the same?
Well, it's not going to be the same. And that's where, you know, we're not going to have all the entrepreneurs to come up with the small businesses. And that's where we do need to make sure that we're being competitive in our rural areas to bring in new business. And I have, one of the things I had in my platform is that we absolutely need to have an economic development plan that we can offer businesses so that we can be competitive. We can't wait till a business comes to us and says, hey, well, what can you offer us? We need to have something on the books about what we can do, because we're not even going to get that, hey, what can you offer us, unless we've already have something to present. And so that's something that we've talked about on council already. I think that's something we're going to be moving forward with as we start to plan for our next fiscal year and do our strategic plan, which I've asked for us to implement for this year.
Are big plans now,
they
Sarah.
Are. But they're imperative. We
sure.
have a master plan for the city, but a strategic plan basically takes that master plan and puts it into bite-sized chunks, where you have a strategic plan and what your measurable goals are for the next 3 years. So you can see where you're at, where you need to go, and you can slowly work towards that master plan.
Sure. But, you know, and it has to be difficult because you do have Greenwood on one side of you, Anderson right up the road. So that's kind of stuck in the middle with you.
Well, and that's okay, because there are some things that we want to leave intact about Abbeville. We don't want to do things that are going to impede our historic charm. And like I said, if Greenwood gets an industry or a company that's going to hire a lot of businesses, I'm going to celebrate Greenwood, because people from Abbeville can drive to Greenwood for a good job.
Sure.
And so I think when one wins, we all win. And that's really important for all of us to keep in mind, is that the jobs might not come right into Abbeville City or Abbeville County limits, but we need to think about regional wins. And when Greenwood wins something big, then we all win. I know that there's a lot of folks living in Abbeville that are working at the new Kohl's and some of those shops. So those are jobs that are getting our families the help that they need and the income that they need. So if Greenwood gets those, I'm going to celebrate with them.
Sure. You know what I think, though, is that it's kind of sad because Abbeville is so charming and so neat, and with the theater and all the different festivals and everything that you do, that sometimes the people that are the closest to you don't drive across the county line, like Greenwood, over to Abbeville. It is amazing how people, oh, that's so far.
It certainly can be, but it's always interesting because when we have our big events, the wine walk, the arts festival, some of those things, I get to see a lot of folks from Greenwood, and that's why when Greenwood does some of their activities, I always make sure that I come. And in fact, Nikki Hutto, the Greenwood City Council. Mm-hmm. You know, she always, whenever she sees me in Greenwood, she calls me Miss Abbeville, and she's been doing that for years, actually. And I come to Greenwood because we always get a lot of support from Greenwood, and so I want to share that support. But when I'm going to spend my money, I try to stay in Abbeville.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, you try to keep it in Abbeville. You also, I understand, are pretty much into canning and putting up your own vegetables and having a vegetable garden and
Absolutely. Everything.
Absolutely.
That's something that's very important for me and my family. And I've been a vegetarian for 12 years, and so there's nothing better than going out and getting a ripe tomato or cucumber from the garden in the summer. And one of the plans that I have is I'd like to try to come up with some green spaces in local neighborhoods so that families can have a community garden. And I think that that's especially important for our children so that they, A, know where their food comes from, B, have healthy foods to eat, and C, it will help stave off some of families' grocery bills. And I think all of that would be great for our families because we do have some, you know, economic issues with some of the families in our communities. They just don't have everything that everyone else has.
Well, sure. And Tony Abel over here with Healthy Neighborhoods has been instrumental in getting so many grants to help with community gardens right here in Greenwood.
I might have to get his number from you.
Yeah, we might have to get Tony's number, absolutely, because she knows how to do it, and that certainly would be a direction for y'all to work
Definitely,
towards.
Definitely, absolutely.
Yeah, so these are some of the things we're going to be talking about. Hey, if you've got a question, don't hesitate to give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. I know Sarah is looking forward to telling us all the events that are going to be going over there in Abbeville. We always try to keep everybody informed about what's going on in Abbeville. But while we've got a second, you did do something pretty interesting over there, the chocolate walk. Now, I thought that was a fabulous idea.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was back, when was that exactly?
It was the weekend before Valentine's Day in February.
Timing.
I think it was February, yes.
But tell us how it went.
I thought it went fantastically. It was a beautiful day. The weather was certainly on our side. And we had only pre-sold about 75 tickets, and so we had underestimated the number of people that had showed up. So we had a few kinks, but I think this is definitely going to be something that we're going to do next year. I did the chocolate walk. I didn't think I could ever have too much chocolate, but it was certainly chocolate overload. But the great thing about it, we have these extremely successful, wonderful wine walks in Abbeville, but they're obviously not family friendly.
Sure.
And so the cool thing about the chocolate walk is you saw these kids walking around with their with their parents and with chocolate all over their faces. And I looked at them and I felt very bad for them because I knew that their kids were going to be bouncing off
the walls
for the rest of the day. But it was great to see so many families out having a good time together. So I thought it was awesome.
Yes, and of course the square just creates that perfect environment to do things like that.
It really does. It's all very walkable. It's not long distances. So it's a really conducive atmosphere to do those types of walks. And I know that the businesses, you know, perhaps not all of them did extremely well, but I had to stand in line where I bought stuff. So I know that they were busy. And I think anytime we can bring those kinds of visitors into our downtown, it's a good thing for our community.
You are absolutely right. I think, you know, and that's what it's called, thinking outside the box, coming up with something different, right?
Well, absolutely. Because wine walks aren't unique anymore. Everybody does a wine walk now. And so we try to think about how we could be different and how we could reinvent the wheel. So we've reinvented it with the chocolate walk.
There you go.
Maybe we'll just do a dessert walk next year. We'll
dessert walk. Loaded with chocolate, but dessert walk.
Yeah.
Well, you know, those type of things create a lot of interest, and of course you get a lot of good PR out of that too. So excellent events. Hey, you know what? I am Ann Eller right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. Looks like it is starting to warm up here. We're looking for a high in the mid-60s today. So tonight, supposed to be down in the 40s. Not as cold as it has been, folks, but we are looking for a cool Easter day and maybe some rain too, so you want to make a plan on that. Hey, tell you what, it is time for South Carolina news and then a word from our sponsors, and then we'll be back here with Sarah, the mayor, the first female mayor of Abbeville. Don't you go away.
This is Philip Biffle, your Greenwood Edward Jones Financial Advisor. Do you have a recovery plan for your investments? If not, there are several reasons we think you should. While interest rates are very low, certain income strategies and investments could help increase your investment income. Also, many investment portfolios are out of balance at a time when proper investment diversification may be most critical. You also may want to review your portfolio to consider replacing lower quality investments with higher quality investments that may be at attractive prices. No one can control what the market will do next. You can, however, take advantage of investment opportunities that exist today. At the same time, it is important to be well positioned for whatever the market does tomorrow. Please call me, Philip Biffle, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Please call me, Philip Biffle, at 229-0444, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
Oh, that's right. It's a continuation of the I Love Ann show this morning. Hey, we are talking to Sarah Sherwood. She is the mayor, the new female, first female mayor of Abbeville. So hope you're listening and hope you're enjoying this. But, you know, as anything goes, there are issues over there that have to be addressed. And economically, fiscally, how is Abbeville doing, Sarah?
We're not in dire straits, but I definitely have some concerns about how money has been spent and budgeted in the past and what we need to do moving forward. We are preparing our budget, our audit for this past year has been done, and we're looking to get our audit report at our April meeting. But the last 2 years, when the audit report has been given, the city has been notified by our auditors. So these are outside opinions that we need to have about $1 million more in the bank. And that hasn't been happening. And it's something that we absolutely need to start working towards. It's important. The way that municipalities receive income is very incrementally. And so if you don't have that kind of cushion in the bank, you run into risks of how are you going to pay your payroll? How are you going to make your budgets and all that kind of stuff to make your payments on things? Because we have monthly payments, whether it be the annual loan that we took out to put on a new roof or whatever it may be, we've got to make sure that we have that cash flow coming in. And so what the ideal thing is, if you have that cushion, you can utilize it throughout the year, but your fiscal year still ends with that cushion in place as that income generates when you have that cash flow coming in, because you really only have a substantial cash flow about 3 times a year. And I don't know about you, but if you were only paid 3 times a year, life would be pretty difficult.
Yep, it would be. I just like to get paid once. But anywho, so $1 million, that's a lot of money to have on hand. How much do y'all have on hand?
Right now we only have about $500,000 on hand. And so our auditors are telling us that we need to have an additional million.
What does that mean? What are you going to have to do?
I'm really looking forward to getting into that part of the budget and fiscal year. It is my goal to make sure that we don't have to cut our services or our personnel or make any kind of detrimental impact to the families that depend on us. But we do need to start making some really hard decisions about, do we need this now? Can we wait another year? Obviously, you don't want to hold off and have to have a lot of repair expenses on things, but we really need to start looking at that budget line by line and seeing where funds can be eliminated.
Wow, being fiscally responsible.
It's a novel concept in politics.
It's kind of a novel concept in politics. Well, would you have to look at raising any taxes, do you think?
Actually, the way that our government is set up, and this is all across South Carolina, is depending on that census report, in your economic growth and your population growth, there's this, you know, really wacky formula that I will never pretend to understand that tells you whether or not you can raise your taxes. And the city of Abbeville cannot raise taxes. So we have to just do better with what we have.
Better money management, I
guess. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's what you're looking at, but you're going to have to come up with some ways to raise $500,000, right?
We're going to do it step by step. Obviously, we're not going to cut $500,000 from our budget the first year and then the next year. We have to look at this in baby steps, but we have to put those baby steps into place so that we can get to where we need to be before we start to fall further behind.
Sure. So not unusual for what any of the counties are looking at across our state.
Absolutely.
And, of course, one of the biggest problems is those mandates that are supposed to come back to the municipalities or the counties. The state of South Carolina has cut those.
They absolutely have.
That's the truth, yes.
It really is the truth. And somewhere along the lines, you know, the municipalities all got together and they made an agreement with the state for funding, and it was all roses and kittens for about a year. And then ever since then, the state continues to reduce our funding.
Sure. So that is becoming a bigger and bigger problem. So, wow, that's hard stuff to work with, isn't it?
It certainly is. And with the townships or cities, we have what we call the Municipal Association of South Carolina, and then the counties have the Association of Counties. And all together, they have the lobbyists, they have the people, the people who go in and fight with our legislators to help to make sure that the local government fund is funded at 100% every year. And I think this year's statistic is an estimated budgeting of 81%, which is greater than it has been in the past. But the association, these counties and these municipalities, we made an agreement with the state with the full faith that they were going to do what they said. And unfortunately, you know, we all struggle. We all have problems. But I keep hearing that South Carolina is doing better. We're on an economic recovery. We have all these new jobs. So something's got to give.
That's right. So we'll be interested to see how that works out. Of course, there's all kinds of issues from everybody. So what type of I know you've got a lot of events. I know the theater over there, the Opera House, has been a big boon to bringing in people from outside. In fact, talking to Michael Genevieve, I understand the buses have started coming in for the tours that come in on the weekends when they're running things. So that's good news. And I was very impressed. I remember last year, I think it was sometime, they actually had a walk around Abbeville to look at properties in the square to help get more businesses in uptown or downtown or the square in Abbeville.
Absolutely. I think we certainly have made some strides, but we've also lost some businesses too. I'm very, very excited. I helped close the deal on the sale of the Belmont Hotel or the Belmont Inn, and I'm very excited about the renovations. I actually toured the hotel last night to see how they're doing. Mm-hmm. It's a massive undertaking, and they're doing a great job, and very excited about the possibilities. They will hope to bring back the overnight play packages, and the restaurants will be opened again. And I think that is going to be a key. That is going to be a kingpin, like you said, to our downtown. And I really am very excited. But I've been very excited that the Opera House has chosen some really great plays lately that have had sellout crowds. I was very disappointed. I had to give up my tickets to Charlie and the Chocolate Factory because my husband was sick. But they had sellout crowds all the days. And so they're choosing some really popular things that are getting attention. And that's important because the Opera House is also a staple to our downtown, and it's something that we need.
Sure. So on the Belmont, when do we look to maybe have that rolling?
They're hoping here in the springtime. I don't want to put my foot in my mouth or put them on an unnecessary deadline, but they are hoping by the spring, and they're working very, very hard.
Sure. So, we want to have him on the radio to talk about all of this.
I will certainly make sure that happens.
Yeah, that would be, I think that would be fun. And they're German. Correct?
They are.
That's right. So always interesting, and glad to see somebody has undertaken that project. That is a huge undertaking.
It certainly is. And the Belmont's always been near and dear to my heart. My wedding reception was held at the Belmont Hotel, and it's always been it's been a sad thing
sure.
for our community. And even now, they've got the plants outside, the flowers going, the whole exterior has been painted, and it just looks so much brighter and fresher. And so now they're tackling the inside just as quickly as they can, but making sure that all the details have been addressed before they have their guests.
Oh, I think that's terrific. Hey, you know what? We are here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We are talking to the mayor of Abbeville, Sarah Sherwood. Don't you go away. We're going to hear a quick word, and we'll be right back.
Gold dust at my feet.
This year will be a simpler year, one fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love, a diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
All right, we're back here at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 Bypass. We are talking about Abbeville. Gosh, you got a sheriff's election coming up in a very short period of time.
We do. I think that's coming up mid-May.
Mid-May. Yes.
And the special election primary went well, and just very excited that we're going to see some change in Abbeville.
Well, yes, there are changes. They are coming to Abbeville. And, you know, change is good if it moves in a positive direction.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know? And the one thing I think you can say is across our state, we've seen a lot of changes. We've seen, we've seen some missteps out there. But the good thing is I think these things are being taken care of one step at a time. Misstep one step at a time. And that... hopefully, everything's going to move forward and some of these things will be changed. It has been an amazing last year and a half of what has come out across the state.
It certainly has. And I think it's just goes to show that people care more about what's happening in our government. And quite honestly, technology is changing that. Technology is keeping people in touch and keeping people in the know about what's happening in their local communities, what's happening in the communities around them, and then, of course, across the state. And it's also giving people a platform to have a greater voice about what's happening. And I think that that's really important. Transparency in government and communicating truthfully is imperative to the success of any government or any community. And that's what I'm all about. We were speaking during the break. You might not like what I have to say. You might not like how I say it, but it'll always be the truth.
Well, there you go. You heard it right here on WCRS 1450 AM. Not only that on the radio, but streaming worldwide, Sarah. All right. Well, she is the first female mayor in Abbeville, South Carolina. She's been involved. And, you know, when exactly do you have your council meetings?
Our council meetings are the second Tuesday of each month at 7 p.m. in the upstairs of the Opera House. And so occasionally we do have to make some changes due to other meetings and conflicts or holidays, but that you can generally find us there.
Okay. And I guess you would like people to come out and come to those meetings.
Absolutely. Come out. Just see what we're all about. Listen and watch what's happening. And if you have something to say, if you have a concern, get on our agenda and address it with us. As I said earlier in the program, there are 5,000 people that we represent, and we are just 9 people, and we need your 5,000 eyes. We need your input. We need your feedback to know what we're doing wrong or what we need to do better. But
occasionally
be nice
right.
to let us know what we're doing good.
Exactly. You know, we have a tendency to think that everything's always negative, don't we?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in fact, my neighbor actually came to our last council meeting and made a comment because something good had happened. And at the end of his comment, I told him, you know, thank you. And it's oftentimes we only hear the bad, so I appreciate hearing the good.
Did you spur him to come and tell this?
I didn't, actually. It just so happened that a neighbor that lives in between us unfortunately left her car unlocked and with her purse in the seat.
Oh my God.
So her vehicle was broken into. And the police were doing checks in the neighborhood and came and knocked on his door, albeit very early in the morning, to make sure that there was no problems at his house as well. So the police were just trying to be thorough to try to determine what all had happened, if it was an isolated incident or if there was kind of a rash of break-ins on our street.
Sure.
So the police really kind of did go the extra mile, and he was just complimenting them on doing such a thorough job.
Absolutely. Well, that's terrific. Well, listen, you've got a lot of events coming up. So what is upcoming in Abbeville this spring?
We have all kinds of activities coming up. Of course, the first weekend of Abbeville, everyone in the Lakelands community knows that Abbeville is the place to be during the Spring Festival.
Sure.
But we have a lot, of course, going on during the Spring Festival. It's always a great big weekend in our town.
When is that?
It's going to be May the 2nd. It kicks off on that Thursday, and then May the 3rd and 4th. And we've got concerts and tours and historical and arts and crafts vendors, all kinds of stuff. But before we get to the Spring Festival, we do have a number of great activities going on. The Abbeville Greenwood JCs is bringing back what was previously called the Yard Sale on the Square, and it's now going to be Bargains on the Bricks. And that is going to be April the 6th from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. So come out bright and early for some great deals.
Next Saturday, a week from this Saturday,
yes,
right?
Yes. So some great deals from people trying to get some things sold, and come help us clean up our town before our Spring Festival. Buy some yard sale stuff.
Well, you know, yard sales are real popular now. More popular, I think, than they've ever been, because everybody's trying to save a buck and people are trying to sell the things that they need to get rid of to get some cash.
Absolutely. Absolutely. After that, we also have a brand new event that's been created by our Chamber of Commerce, as well as one of our local merchants, Courtyard Creations, and that's called a cash mob. And so that's similar to a flash mob, but the people will gather together, in this instance, at the Chamber of Commerce on April the 13th, and with $20 or more in hand, and they're going to mob one of the local stores. And since Courtyard Creations helped come up with this idea, we're going to mob them first, and it's hopefully going to be a monthly event that we'll be able to do to help just spur and bring some business to our downtown. I have to tell you, Courtyard Creations has got some cute and adorable things. So please come check them out.
Well, that sounds like that must be a new business.
They're a fairly new business. They started in the fall, and they're actually Courtyard Creations by the Hen House. So some of you may remember them from 96, but they have found their new home over in Abbeville. Things are going good. They have got some great little foods and stuff like that. In fact, during the chocolate walk, they did chocolate-covered coffee beans, which have been sold out since the chocolate walk, and I cannot get my hands on them.
Chocolate-covered coffee beans. Oh, that's a way to get a rush. Exactly. Well, what other businesses? You've got so many businesses over there. How about give us just a little highlight of some of the ones?
Well, we've got two great new clothing boutiques. Well, really three. We've got 105 West, which is at 105 West Pickens, and I must say they have the most beautiful window displays you have ever seen. They're just so fun. And some great clothing. I've gotten some really good, unique picks from there. So we've got 105 West. Of course, we've got our Main Street Coffee Shop, which is a favorite of mine, although it's not, you know, a little different. And then, of course, you've got Courtyard Creations by the Hen House. And then Deason's Flowers has always got some wonderful creative gifts. Uptown Girls, Carolina Guys, which is now featuring Courtney's Closet, which is another little clothing boutique. Uptown Girls has been a staple in our downtown for quite some time.
Sure.
We've got Everyday Presence, which is a really adorable Christian bookstore, and they also now have a global cafe where they're serving some coffees and stuff like that. And then another new boutique for tweens, which is called What a Girl Wants. If you are looking for a gift for a small girl, or something for your Easter basket, that's certainly the place to go, certainly the place to be. And then you've got our regular downtown staples, Lucia's, of course, which has always been there and always has those unique gifts. And, you know, we're doing good in Abbeville. We have our setbacks, but we've got some great unique shops that are, quite frankly, very affordable. And that's what you see sometimes when you go to these communities and you go to those boutique shops. Mm-hmm. You walk in and you think, wow, that's awesome. It's so beautiful, but I can't afford it. And I have found that the shops in Abbeville are competitively priced so that things are affordable for families. And I think that that's really important.
I understand that that's where you shop.
I try to shop in Abbeville as often as I possibly can. There's obviously things that I can't get in Abbeville.
Sure.
But it's always been my choice that, especially when it comes to eating out, we don't have a great budget to eat out. And when I do eat out, I really try to make that effort to keep my money in Abbeville. And And my husband tries to keep me from the clothing stores as much as humanly possible.
Well, that is great. So we were talking about the Cash Mob. We talked about coming up on the 6th next week. Is next Saturday is the big yard sale. Now, if somebody wants to have a booth, can they have one?
They can. The best place to get information is going to be to try to go to Facebook. And the event has been created, but it's the Abbeville Greenwood JCs. It's called Bargains on the Bricks. And they are selling basically parking lot spaces, so like a 10 by 10. For just $10, and you come out there 6 a.m, get your stuff set up, and you're there a good part of the day to go ahead and try to sell your wares.
So if you'd like to be part of that, you can just go to Facebook then. Is that where they need to go? Okay. Now, if somebody wanted to call, can they call the chamber?
They could call the chamber, but they could also call Uptown Girls.
Okay.
Shanda Ferguson, who owns Uptown Girls, is a big part of the Abbeville JCs, and she would be a great point of contact.
Okay. You don't happen to know their number, do you?
No,
I don't.
Off the top of my head.
Okay.
So that's cell phones make it so you don't know numbers.
I know. That's right. Uptown Girls, right yes. In there in Abbeville. Give them a call over there. All right. Real quick, you've got some other good stuff coming up. Let's see. What's this Abbeville French Heritage Festival?
It's a brand new event that's been created by some people who, quite frankly, are Francophiles. They love everything French. And it's a great way to honor our French history. You know,
and the French were very much instrumental in Abbeville, weren't they?
Absolutely. The French settled parts of Abbeville, and we are named after Abbeville, France. And so that's a brand new event. We're very excited to have a new something going on. The flower show is going to be held that weekend. They have an antique and art show. There's going to be garden and cemetery and home tours throughout the weekend. On Friday evening, they're also doing a French wine tasting.
Interesting.
It's not going to be a wine walk. This is going to be held at the historic Bernie Brooks Inn, which I'm glad because it's just right up the street from my house. So French wine tasting that evening. And then the weekend will conclude with a piano concert with Miss Ella Ann Holdings. And that's going to be held on Sunday at Trinity Church, and she's going to be playing some French classical music.
Wow, so, sounds great.
Yeah, it's going to be a great weekend and a great opportunity to take in our history, as well as to come and buy some antiques and some art and some just unique things.
Sure. You know, that's one of the things we haven't really hit on, but they do have some great bed and breakfast.
Yes,
right there in Abbeville. Come and spend the weekend.
Absolutely, absolutely. The Hearthside Manor is reopened, which I'm very excited about. Laney and Richard Reeder, have reopened theirs, and that's closer to Ingalls. Karen Burney has always done an amazing job. I've never had a chance to stay over there, but I have had breakfast there, and you know, even if you just want to come for the night, it's a nice little getaway.
Sure. So good stuff going on in Abbeville. Listen, Mayor Sarah Sherwood, it seems like that you are definitely out there promoting Abbeville.
I'll do the best I can. Abbeville's my home, and I want people to come and enjoy my home.
Absolutely. So good stuff coming on, and make sure that we get information on this. And as always, we'll promote it right here on WCRS.
Well, thank you, Ann, and thank you for having me this morning. And to all my students and to all the students throughout the Lakelands, please be safe and have fun this spring break. But please be safe and happy Easter.
Absolutely. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. We're now going to hear the news and a word from our sponsors, and then Laura Ingram's going to be here. So don't you go away. Stay right here. Sarah, thanks so much for coming over today.
Thank you, Ann.
Bye-bye.